Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Have you ever heard the expression, he's in a dark place? Sometimes you might hear him say, well, he's really in a bad place, or he's lost. But oftentimes you'll hear the expression, he's really in a dark place, or I feel like I'm in a dark place. Well, it's often used to describe someone whose behavior is evil, or who has withdrawn and is so depressed that he could be considered suicidal or something like that. Well, you know, that expression, he's in a dark place, is not without foundation. And that foundation, of course, is in the Bible. What we're going to do today is we're going to look in the scripture and try to approach this text from two stands. First of all, where you are, in case you find yourself in a dark place. And then we're going to show you this from the standpoint of somebody else who's in the dark place that you're trying to help. Okay? Let's look at it first of all from where you are. When you find yourself in a dark place, number one, you are sinning. Look in John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So if you find yourself in a dark place, I'll tell you, what got you there is sin. Okay? That's what got you there. You may think it's emotions. You may think it has to do with some other things. And indeed, there may be other contributing factors, but the truth of the matter is, the problem is sin. Now, please understand something. It doesn't mean that every time you sin, you're going to be in a dark place. What we're doing today is we're trying to figure out how you recover yourself when you find yourself in a dark place. And the first thing you have to do is admit that the thing that got you there is sin. You have disobeyed God in some area of your life. You're doing something that the Bible clearly calls sin, something God doesn't want you to be involved in. Now, you may not think of what you're doing as sin, because the world may see what you're doing as acceptable or legal or, you know, something that everybody else is doing. But if the Bible calls it sin no matter how the world views it. Okay? But be sure of this. If you are dealing with that dark, oppressive feeling in your life, you are dealing with sin. And if you're dealing with somebody else, and they are talking about or having trouble with darkness in their life, the trouble is sin. Sin is involved, no question about it. I remember a long time ago going to visit a young fellow who was struggling with alcohol. And the day I went to visit with him, he was in a room that was perfectly, absolutely dark, except for a little television. It was the only thing that was casting any light in the room. And so when I went to see him, I said, listen, I just want you to know, as you're dealing with alcoholism, that the trouble is sin. And the remedy for that sin is Jesus Christ. And I know Jesus Christ, and I'd be glad to tell you about him when you're ready. If you ever get ready, you give me a call. You can deal with addictive behaviors, and that's, I think some people have found some help there. I think you can deal with rehab, and some people have found some help there, obviously. But the root cause is sin. I know some people, they call it, what do they call that thing, dry drunk? They're not drunk, but they want to be drunk. And the trouble is, they never really got the root out completely. They've just learned a way to accommodate the behavior in another fashion. I'll tell you what, when you find yourself in a dark place, you can just be absolutely sure that sin is involved in the problem. And the best way to start making correction in the problem is to find out what that sin is and then start dealing with that sin. All right, here's the second thing. When you find yourself in a dark place, I'll tell you something else. You're not in your Bible. That's right. You hate the light. Look at this. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. There's the sin. Okay? And notice he says then in verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Well, the Bible is light. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Preaching is light, intensified when it comes down, raining down on you from the pulpit. Okay. You're going to find Bible preaching, and you're going to find the Bible itself abhorring to you. You're not going to like it. People quit going to church when they get messed up in this dark place. And the Bible begins to gather dust. Well, then what you got to do, as much as you hate it, is pick up the Bible and get under some preaching so you can get some light shed on the problem. Now, you may not come right out and say, well, I hate preaching, although people do. And you may not come right out and say, I hate the Bible, although some people do. But you're surely not going to pick up the Bible, and you're surely not going to start going to a Bible preaching church to hear the preacher rebuke you with the words of God, not when you're in a dark place. And the problem, see, you got to understand what the problem is. The problem is, first of all, your deeds are evil, so you're dealing with sin. All right, and secondly, you got to understand that whether you're willing to say it or not, you really do hate the light. That's important for you to acknowledge that. People hem-haw around there. You know, I've told people before, listen, if you really hate the light that much, just admit it. Quit pretending. If you're beat up by sin that badly, come in beat up by sin. We can do something with that, but when you pretend not to be, well, then there's nothing we can do with that. The Bible says that that when Jesus came, he came to call sinners to repentance. If you're not willing to take your place among that crowd, God really can't do anything for you. So just be honest with yourself. First of all, your deeds are evil. You're messed up in some sin. And secondly, you hate the light. That's why you're not picking up the Bible, because you don't like what it says. Okay? It's not that you don't have time. It's not that you're busy or that you're lazy or any of that kind of stuff. No, the problem is you know what it says and you don't like it. Bob Jones Sr. said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. So there's the problem. You hate the light. That's how people end up in darkness. All right, here's the third thing. This is really important too. You're not willing to change. Look at verse 20 again. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Well, you don't want your deeds reproved. You don't want somebody to tell you that you're out of line and you got to straighten up. Anything or anyone that reproves your sin only causes you to become more resolved to stay in your sin and not change it. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you would ever, like the prodigal son, just come to yourself and realize how unhealthy you are and how destructive your behavior is, you could change. But the problem is, you're in a dark place. And I know something about being in a dark place. I remember when I was a kid, and, you know, go to sleep in your room, and it's pitch black outside, pitch black in the room. About 2 o'clock in the morning, your brother come in, turn the light on. All right? The bright light that turns on in darkness is so intense that it just stings. It's like coming out of a dark movie theater and walking out into the bright daylight. It just stings your eyes. It hurts so much. Well, When you're in a dark place, the bright light of the Word of God is almost blinding. It's so bright. And since it's uncomfortable for you to stay in that light, you end up staying in your sin. Okay? That's the problem. You are not willing to change. There are all kind of people that will come to you when you're in a dark place like that, and they'll try to pump you up. Come on, you need to do this and that. Come on, you know, get going. Any kind of remedy. Truth of the matter is, if you're not willing to change it, you're not going to change it. Not at all. I had a friend many, many years ago, and his mother tried to love him into change, and his dad tried to discipline him into change, and he wouldn't change. And I called my brother, and I said, what do you do with a situation like that? And he said, well, listen, if he's comfortable living in the stuff that he's living in right now, he's not going to change. One day he may wake up and say, I don't like this anymore. And if he ever wakes up that day and says, I don't want to live like this anymore, then he'll start making the changes that are necessary. But nobody's going to change him. Matter of fact, people become more resolved to stick with where they are if they don't want to change when you come to reprove them. When you find yourself in a dark place, okay, I mean really, you know, just you feel that oppressiveness coming on you. First of all, you got to recognize sin is involved. Number two, you got to recognize that you've got to get back in your Bible. The Bible is contributing. The fact that you're not in the Bible and not in church is contributing to the problem. And third, you got to realize that you're not willing to change. And you got to get willing. You got to make some decisions, okay, to change. All right, here's the next thing. When you find yourself in a dark place, you are looking through an evil eye. You are looking through an evil eye. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. That's what Matthew 6:23 says. But the contrasting verse is 22. It talks about your eye being single. Well, we're not going to detour in this lesson to show you the verses on everything that's involved in a single eye. What we're going to do is just give you the summary of the study. The single eye of Matthew 6:22 is an eye, very simply, that looks at things that God wants you to see and refuses to look at things that God doesn't want you to see. Okay, that's a single eye. You see what God wants you to see and refuse to look at things that God doesn't want you to see. It sees the single eye of Matthew 6:22 sees things the way that God sees them. In other words, from God's perspective. The single eye is an eye that is content to let the child of God live by faith. You see, there are a lot of things that I believe. A lot of things that I love I've never seen. I believe in Jesus Christ. I love him. I've never seen him. I believe in the streets of gold and the mansions. I believe in New Jerusalem and all that stuff. I believe in the great body of water that surrounds this universe. Never seen him. But it's okay because with a single eye, I'm content not to see them in order to be able to believe in them. I never saw the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe it more than the disciples did the day they watched him crucified. Okay? So it's a single eye is an eye that is content to believe what God said and let the child of God live by faith. In other words, it's an eye that sees what God wants it to see and sees the way God wants it to see and believes what God says. You see, the Pharisees, they saw Jesus Christ and they saw the miracles, but they didn't believe anything they were looking at. Seeing, you see not, the Bible says. See, that's an eye that's an evil eye. And the evil eye looks at things that God doesn't want you to see, and it sees things the way the devil wants you to see them rather than the way God wants you to see them. When Eve was in the garden, God said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. Well, by the time she got ready to sin, she was looking at that tree and admiring the positive qualities in that tree. a tree that was good for food, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and a tree that was pleasant to the eyes. You see, all that stuff really got her messed up. She was looking at it the way the devil wanted her to see it, so that she wouldn't see the prohibition that God had made against eating the fruit on that tree. An evil eye cannot live by the faith of God's words. That's like Richard Dawkins, you know, the professed atheist who's written several books, one of which was The God Delusion, and he deals with everything in the universe from the science of natural processes and from probabilities. And in his mind, the probability that all of everything you see exists by the science of natural processes is easier for him to believe than that God made it. He thinks that probability is smaller. And the interesting thing about it is all the science that he's studied and all the science that others have studied, they still can't come up with an answer to the law of biogenesis. You can look at all these adaptations. You can look at all this evolutionary theory that you want to look at. Where did life come from? And in science, it's just speculation. They don't have a demonstrable answer. So their answer is still an answer of faith, but it's not a faith in God's words. It's a faith in their speculation. Okay? And I'm not going to go on speculation. I'm going to go on fact. Okay? And there's not one provable error in a Bible, historically or scientifically or archaeologically or theologically or any other way. Why would you throw that out? Because you just don't want to believe he created things, you see? When you get where Dawkins is, the lights go out. Guess what? Darkness. And the trouble simply is you're looking through an evil eye. That's not a religious concept. That's a truth concept. The eye is evil, then what happens is it is attracted to darkness. An eye that is not evil, an eye that is single, is attracted to light. That's all there is to it. And you got to understand that. You're looking at things the wrong way. That's how you ended up in the dark place you're in. All right, so when you find yourself in a dark place, sin is involved. You've left your Bible. You're not willing to change, and until you are, you're going to stay in that dark place. Okay? And then you're looking through an evil eye, so you're looking at things the wrong way, the devil's way as opposed to God's way. Okay? Now here's another thing, and this is the logical conclusion or the logical progression. If you're looking through an evil eye, then you're under the devil's influence. Okay? You are under the devil's influence. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. This Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 has to deal with the whole armor of God, and in the middle of a discussion on the whole armor of God, Paul says in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're under the influence of the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, and that's why you're in a dark place. In other words, you have entered a realm that the devil controls, and before long, you can find yourself irrecoverably ensnared by the devil. I'm talking about 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, where Paul talks about somebody trying to recover himself out of the snare of the devil who is taken captive by him at his will. You get in that level of darkness, the devil gets in there and throws that chain on you and pulls you into doing some strange things. And I was talking to a fellow one day. He said, I sold assets. I bought drugs. I did the drugs. And afterwards, I wanted to kill myself. That's a dark place. See, that's a dark place. And that's what the devil's trying to do. The devil didn't come to fix anything, and he didn't come to make anything better. He's a liar. So the devil has it set up where he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. All right? and he is also the ruler of darkness. But see how that thing goes? You get down in that dark place like that, next thing you know, you're thinking suicidal thoughts. And then you go to a shrink and try to get the thing worked out, and he can't deal with it. Why? Because he's not going to deal with the Bible, and he's not going to deal with your sin. And those are the first two problems. Somebody's got to deal with your sin, and somebody's got to deal with you with truth in the Bible. And a shrink won't do that for the most part. Some will, but very few. And listen, if you're not willing to change anyway, why bother? And don't trust what you're looking at, because you're not looking at things the right way anyway. Your eye is evil. You need to start with the sin and with the Bible. Get some truth and light in you. Get away from the sin. Start looking then with the single eye. And then things in your life are going to clear up. You're going to see things differently. And furthermore, you got to get out from underneath the influence of the devil. Now, today, when I'm preaching, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, that's eventually what you've done, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And if you've been held captive by the devil and you want now to recover yourself, then what you need to do is repent and acknowledge the truth. If you would just humble yourself and give up this wickedness, the Lord could save you and bring you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, as 1 Peter 2:9 says. The Lord is the only one who can bring you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You say, what do I do? Get away from the sin by God's grace. Get back into your Bible. Make some changes in your life, the ones you have to make. That are connected with the sin and this darkness. Start looking at things with the single eye of God, that is from God's perspective, and recover yourself from the devil by repenting and acknowledging the truth. That's what you need to do. Are you going to do it? That's the question. Did you pay clear enough attention to what the scripture said? John chapter 3 verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, and Ephesians chapter 6, 12, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Aren't you tired of this? Deep, dark, depressing life? I'd be sick of it if I were you. As a matter of fact, I have found myself in the very place that I'm talking to you about, and I got sick of it. I said, I'm not living like this anymore. We're going to make some changes. I started dealing with sin in my life. I got in that Bible and let that Bible shed light on that sin, got that sin out of my life, started looking at things the way God wanted me to see them, and guess what? The darkness and the oppressive work of the devil went away. It's not that he's not still around trying to mess things up. It's just, you know, I'm not ensnared, okay? Now let me ask you something. Are you going to stay in your dark place? Are you going to get out of this thing and get up on your feet in the light of God's word and start moving in a good direction? That's the question. Be you doers of the word, not hearers only. Are you going to get up and do something about this? I would if I were you. I can't stand to live in darkness. No way. All right, now let's move on, as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, to this piece. Let's finish up with this. What if you're not in the dark place? What if you're in a good place? Well, you've learned something today about people who are in a dark place. You've learned that they're stuck in sin, and you've been trying to deal with it, like from the emotional problems or from rearranging their lives or redecorating their house or whatever it is you've been doing. No, you're not going to do any good with giving them money or loving them or cooking them a meal or inviting them over or any of that kind of stuff until you deal with the sin. And you deal with the sin by opening the Bible and showing them the truth of God's words. And listen, if they're not willing to change, you're not going to make any more headway with them. But if they're willing to change, then what they're going to have to do is begin to look at God's words with a believing heart and let that eye change. And then you'll watch that darkness of the cloud of the devil on them be removed, okay? But what is that going to take? That's going to take this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. One more thing it's going to take is this, and this is so important. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 8. Ye were sometimes darkness. Weren't you? I sure was. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So what? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. If you got a fellow that's a friend of yours in a dark place, and he wants to go drinking tonight, and you say, well, I'm going to go drinking with him because I want him to know he still has a friend. You know what you have done? You have entered into his darkness. You're not walking as a child of light. Okay, you're not going to do him any good. You're not proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You're not reproving him. You're having fellowship with his unfruitful works of darkness. You can't fix anybody in a situation like that. What's going to happen is you're going to get sucked into the vortex of his darkness and your light's going to go out. You can't do that. What you have to do is you have to walk as a child of light. You have to shine brightly and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay? For it's a shame, Paul says, even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So don't participate in any way, financially or physically or emotionally or in any way, with what they're doing at all. You just stand there as the bright light of a child of God and reprove their unfruitful works of darkness. You say, well, if I do that, they're not going to like me anymore. Oh, yeah, no kidding. You're absolutely right, they won't. That's why Paul said, don't even have any fellowship with them. Of course they're not going to like you, but you know what? They're going to remember you. It's kind of like the old Motel 6 slogan, we're going to leave the light on for you. Amen. In other words, if they get off in their own little thing like that and they get about beat up as bad as the prodigal son did, when they're coming out of that and they're looking for light, they're not going to want to find somebody that was in the same darkness they're in. They're going to look for somebody that is still shining as the light. So you know what you want to do? Leave the light on for them. Leave the light on for them. That's the best way in the world to be a help to somebody in darkness.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.